the projection by I had bargain on his wonders, forgetting the first coordinate, and I had on stress, and I had the subordinate M, so I had pi of M, and I had constructed a C that went from pi of M back to M, such that pi over C was an entity. So that's what I had, and then I went and wrote the formula. So then I wanted to prove that M was isomorphic to the direct sum, so I find out C, it went from M to the direct sum of the kernel of phi restricted to M with C of phi of M. So I wanted to show that, so by induction I knew that this guy was free, so because he's rejective I get that this guy is free, and I get by induction I know that this is free, so I'm getting that the whole thing is free, as long as I prove that C is isomorphic. So, well, what was C? C was half x to x minus C was pi of x, and C was pi of x. The pi is projection, right? So, this is x. This is pi of x. And then, no, x is anything here. So then I have, then I fix some line here. And then I do C of pi of x, which is this guy. So this is x. This is pi of x. This is C of pi of x. And then, every element in the plane is, so what is x minus C of pi of x? Is this guy here? X minus C of pi of x. This, no, which way does it go?
It goes down.
Huh? It goes up. So I have to, if it goes up, then this plus M will give me this. So this plus this, no, I have to go on that. So you can nickel both every X as C of pi of X and X minus C of pi. So, I need a feature to prove this, so I want to show that, well, first of all, that C is injective. That C is because if C of X is 0, implies that this component is 0, and so that component is also 0, right? Because for the whole thing to be 0, both components have to be 0, so this component is 0 gives me this component is 0 gives me this, but then this guy is 0. So it's injective, and it's injective because, how's it go, given something like D value in a kernel of pi restricted to M direct sum with C of pi of M, what we know the value is in here, so value is C of U, where U is in pi of M, and now we can do what? So I want to show that it's subjective, so I want to show that there is a something in X that comes to it. So what is X? X is G to his R, right? That's what it's supposed to be, right? When you add those two things, you get X. So X equals G to his R, and the first thing that I need to check is that it's an M. Of V goes to M. Yeah, so V is an M, because it's the kernel of phi was equal to M. So V is an M. And that is also in C of phi of M, which is inside of M. So this is an M. And then we have to check that the image of X, that C of X, so C of X is equal to what? Is X minus C of phi of X, C of phi of X. And we need to figure out what C of phi of X is. But let's go here. C of phi of M is C of phi of phi of M. They're both linear, right? So it's V, but C of phi W. Now V is in the kernel of phi. So this is 0. C of phi of W, and now I use that, like C phi C U, and then I have to use energy, right? I use this. So this is C of U. And P of U is up. So this is equal to, so I've proven that this is equal to X minus W, but X is B plus W, so this is X. It's more complex. I guess what I'm using is that phi is a projection, which means that phi. I'm not mentioning what it is. And that phi is a fraction of phi. The proof is more direct. There's no mystery there. Writing the right thing. Okay, so now we're ready for the big theorem. So the big theorem. Let's see it again. So R is a PID. And our hand is a module. There exists where all of the U aren't in the base of our hand. So every element is uniquely written to the information of the driver, which is not. And A1, A, M, in R, not zero, not unit, and not zero, such that A1 divided by 2 divided by the M, and A1, B1, A, M, B, M. particular soul.
And it's free.
So that last sentence which I had put in earlier in the statement of the gym last time is what I proved already. And I'm glad to be using it in the proof for that. So, it's more or less like in the case of vector spaces, like the average of the vector space and the basis that can be extended to the basis of the whole space. Well, you can just actually thought of as a basis of the subspace, and this is the basis of the whole space. That the reason that we need this is because you're in a ring, so you can't divide necessarily, and so you have to take into account that maybe all the elements of M are multiple or something. For example, if we start with the basis of Rn, make the module generated by the first m guys, and then take the... So if you take any basis, then you make the module generated by this guy, you get the module for each different a, you get different modules, you get smaller and smaller. So you don't really need this. Now the proof that I'm going to give is, I guess it is constructive in a sense, but it's not sort of obviously constructive. I mean, I'm not going to give you a systematic way of finding the B's and the A's, that depend on the existence of certain things. There is a more algorithmic proof which looks at look at the matrix for M and then put it in what's called Smith normal form, which is, but I'm not going to do that, you know, it's an important thing, especially if you're dealing with some sort of DCM and you want to do some computational stuff, but I guess I'm going to take a lot of work to set it up and do it right. I don't think, you know, it would separate the conceptual part from the algorithmic part. But you should be aware that there is an algorithmic proof of this theorem. Especially for the case of, like, you know, chain derivatives or for the polynomials. I think it's for treating domains, it's really an algorithm. And yes. Okay, so how do we prove here? So the theorem is clear. M equals 0 with M equals 0. Yes, when you go M equals 0, I don't require existence of any JMS. Okay, so let's assume M minus. If you don't like this thing, this one equals zero, this is still in the system. So now I'm going to do something weird. I'm going to look, first of all, at given a R module homomorphism. B from Rn to R. So basically what I'm after is this AI. And what this AIs are is, so for example, A1 is the thing that divides all the coordinates of all the elements of M and perhaps linear combinations of those. So it's sort of a number that you can't avoid when looking at M. And it's a last number that's going to divide anything that you produce out of M. Anything that you produce out of M by integer linear combinations of the quantum. But M, anything that you can produce like that is going to have to be divisible by A1. So that's what we ask. We ask for A1. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say for any homomorphism from R into R, so that's some way of combining godness of elements in R and M, I'm going to look at C of M, which since M is inside of R and M, is a subset of R. And because of the higher module homomorphism, we shouldn't have trouble convincing ourselves that C of M is an ideal. And so, remember, R is a PID, so here's where I use the hypothesis that R is a PID. Q of M is equal to some A sub C. That is the first volume generated by some A sub C for some A C. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at all these guys. So I'm going to take from a master A1. So A1 is the thing that's going to divide everything inside. So it's something that should divide all the APs. Okay? So I really can't, I'd like to say, A1 is the GCD of all the APs. Maybe that's what I want. But I'm going to take a slightly less dramatic take, and I'm just going to take, the or sigma, the set of all these ideals and Cs, where C varies over all the homomorphisms. So C is homomorphism. Okay. And I want a maximal, so I want to get, I want to take a maximal element so I could just appeal to one lemma to produce one, but I'm actually going to be a little bit more constructive and produce a maximal element of C. So how am I going to do that? So first of all, C is not empty. C's a set. C is a set of ideals inside of R. Okay? So there's no arbitrary structure. C is not empty. Why is that? Because 0 is in C, right? You can take C to be 0. If C is a 0 map, C is a 0 map. The 0 map takes everybody to 0. It's the first one. Then H is 0. The idea of zero is in C. But it's not everything because I'm assuming that M is not a zero module, so it has a non-zero vector. A non-zero vector has some non-zero coordinates, but they call the projection of that coordinates, I'll get a non-zero image. Right? So going to say M in M from 0 and this is in I M equal to M1 and M sub MI from 0 and phi I the I projection from R N to R that M that's 1 and M so phi has phi I of M I norm M equals M I norm 0, so
A pi I is 0 is right. Here because the A is prime, which is minus. So C has some elements. Okay, so let's start with some A and C. So what was the maximum element of C? It's an element that contains that is not contained in another element of C.
So I want the maximum,
some element B in C such that there is no C in C. Containing the difference. That's what I want. I want some maximum out. So, what do I do? I start with 0. Well, maybe I'll start with something other than 0. I'll start with A and C, not 0. So if it's maximal, okay. If I just pick some random element of C and I happen to by stroke of luck find a maximum element, I'm happy. Otherwise, there exists an A prime in C, which is bigger than A. Right? That's what it means for A not to be maximum. If A prime is maximal, I'm done. Maximal. Okay. Otherwise, it's not maximal, so there's a second guy. Bigger. Right? It's not maximal, then something is bigger than it. Well, I cannot go on like this forever. I'm doing the same thing over and over again. If it's maximal, I'm done. If it's not maximal, it's like a bigger one. But the idea is that vary. Right? We cannot have an infinite sequence. A prime. We've seen in the proof that people use Jesus. They don't have to think this like that. So eventually we get the maximal elements. So that's my A1. So I'm going to call it, I haven't called it A1. I'm going to go, I haven't proved that it's a part of the sequence of right spine, so that's A1. C, and I'll give you the name, let me see what I have in my notes. C, I'm going to fix to give a name to my map for my QR such that AC is, remember that the elements of C of the elements of sigma are these guys, right? Sigma. So I have to have some map associated with A1.
So this is A1. So I haven't actually yet proved that A1 divides everything inside, but that's my goal. Prove that A1 will divide everything inside, and it's going to be the first thing on the let's take a look. What's called a elementary divisor of the body. And in fact, once I have the A1, I'm going to continue this same technique that I used in the previous theorem of breaking things into a direct sum and apply that. So, the proof is by induction on that. Okay. So, I made a point here that A1 is called 0. Right? Because the 0 ideal is contained in any other ideal, so it's just a matter of producing a non-zero ideal to have its non-max. So, yes, go over there. Start to look at non-zero there. So A1 is non-zero. Set things up so that A1 is non-zero because I'm starting with non-zero. Okay. What was it? Yes. Claim. A1 divides everything in sum. So A1 divides P of Y for all Y. Oh, no. Where is Y? No. It's not Y. I have to find Y. What is Y? Y is so. A1, so what is A1? So A1, the ideal of A1, is the generator of C of M. Right? The ideal A1 is C of M. That's how you produce it. So, there exists a Y in M, C of Y equals A. So, A1 is the image of some element of M on this. Because it is here. And now I'm going to prove that A1 divides C of Y for all C from R and Y. So I'm not proving that A1 divides everything inside, but it divides the value at Y of anything. It's tricky, you have to sort of get everything right. So well, the idea is always to use maximality if I have two elements Q of Y and A1, I can look at the ideal generated by both of them is an ideal of, so this is an ideal of R.
So we've got the combination between R, Q of Y and A1, and we are in CID, we're using this all the time, so Q of Y and A1 is principal. Over Z, you would apply those two numbers again. Z, and then that would be the different mean combination of Y, Rho, and X. You would abstract it like this. You know that this guy exists, and there exists U and G and R.
That's very convenient. I'm going to define the theta from Rn to R by beta is alpha t plus beta t. So theta y is alpha t of y plus beta t of y, which is alpha t of y plus beta a1, which is b. So B is a value of theta. So the idea of B contained in theta of M, the right of M, which is A theta. Whatever A theta is. But now, A1 is here. Right? So I'm going to use Maxwell, but A1 is in G, so A1 is inside A theta, and by maximality A1 is equal to A theta. Okay, and now what I want to conclude, that A1 divides P of Y, which is the same thing as saying P of Y is in A1, but clearly P of Y, so on the other hand, P of Y is an element of P of U, which is the G, which is contained in the index, which we just proved is equal to A1, i.e. A1 is equal to A1. In particular, A1 divides the coordinate of Y, right? Because the coordinate, each coordinate, if you can take a map C to be projection on a coordinate. And so the value of Y at that projection is pi I Rn to R, and a vector of Rn to X. Right? So, and A1 divides pi I of Y for all Y which means that all the coordinates of Y are divisible by A1. Which means that A1 is divisible by so that Y is divisible by A1. You can find a vector, so there exists a V1, and I'm going to call it V1 because it's the first vector of my base in Rn with A1, V1, equal to right? Y, the vector Y is divisible by all the coordinates of Y is divisible. Okay, now I want to decompose. Where am I? I'm going to go back and use that C. So what I want, that's what I want.
I want things in the kernel.
The kernel of C is going to be a submodule of Rn, any constant, so I have a rank of letters of n. So my induction, so kernel of C is a submodule of Rn. So by the previous proposition, the proposition for Monday, is free of rank less or equal to n. When I claim it cannot be of rank n. Why is that? Because if it were rank n, yes. So if it was rank n, then it would be the zero.
Right. Which is true.
Yes. So we have to justify that. So if pair P has rank n, then there exists, say, W1, W n, pair C. Linear independence well we proved what did we prove already that the that this guy, that every element in Rn is a linear combination of those guys. Well, most of the elements of Rn are linear combinations of those guys. Now, let's work in the field, so let's work in the field of fractions. Yeah. So, in Fn, so, independent of now n, hence also in Fn, but then, every then I take the extended basis of Rn, extended basis, our F linear combination of elements of W1 and M. Right, because this guy is a linear independent, so they form a basis of this guy, this is a vector space, so, you know, animation of vector space, but this guy is a linear linear combination, so now I've linear denominators. So let's say, and by giving, so, you know, like over here, so there exists a R in R, such that RE1, REN, R, a R linear combination of W1 and N. Which means that for all X in Rn, Rx is in the kernel of P. Right? Kernel of P. Right? If you can, every element in Rn, you multiply by R, every element in Rn is a linear combination of the standard basis, so every element x in Rn is a linear combination of those guys, you multiply by R, you get a linear combination of those guys are a linear combination of those guys, so you end up in here. But then what we get? We get, so, C of Rx, well, R C of X is C of Rx is 0. R and R are 0. This is the common denominator for the common denominator. Okay, but then we are done, right? Because R is non-zero in a domain, so so I have proved that C is zero for everybody, but C of A1 is non-zero. Right? For OX. Contradicting C of Y. So yeah, so C cannot be identically zero, so kernel of C is a submodule which is of rank smaller. So, cool. We are getting there. So I'm going to induct. So kernel of C is free of rank vector equal to n minus 1, and so I'm going to apply. So I'll apply this theorem. I'll go by induction on n. And apply theorem, well, statement of the theorem of theorem to what? And intersect the kernel C, so I guess it's the kernel C restricted to M. Inside of the kernel. Okay, so this is a free module of rank n minus 1, and this is a submodule of the free module. So there exists a basis, V2 Vn of kernel C and A2AM in R non-zero, A2 dividing A3 dividing AM, such that A2V2ANDM is a basis for and this expectation. That's my induction hypothesis. And now I need to make sure that everything fits together. I don't have time to do this today, but let me at least state what I need to, what remains to be done. So, I have a basis for the kernel of C.
I say the C2 VM.
And I guess I have a basis for,
well, I have V1.
Has made as V1. Right, so that's the tautology is saying, you know, this guy is a basis for this, and this is a basis for that, so you get a basis for this guy, V2. So I wanted to prove that this is actually isomorphic to IM, so for these two proofs.
This is isomorphic to IM.
True that. And also I want, well, I have kernel C intersect M as basis A2, V2, AM, BM. And this guy here, R, Y. Remember Y is A1 and V1. So has basis A1 and V1. So that's good. So that is the thing that has basis A1, B1, A2, B2, A, and M. So I need to prove that 1, 2, that this is isomorphic to M. And 3, I need to prove that A1 divides A2. Right? Because the inductance of simply A2 and so on, and they could divide in the next step. So, a priori, I didn't establish a connection between A1 and the other. So I need to prove those three things. I'm going to leave that for Monday. I apologize, I'm going to forget everything that's... let me just mention one more thing. I want to apply C to both sides here. So A1, C of A1, B1, C of Y, which by definition was A1, that's how Y was constructed. This is A1, C of B1. And since we are in a domain, we get this C of B1. What do you guys prefer? Do I leave it for Monday or finish it now? I probably can do it in 10 minutes. Finish it now. Alright. Sure. Okay. So... So here it is. We have an X in our hand. You can write X as C of X times B1 plus X minus C of X times B1. So I just added and subtracted C of X B1 to both sides. This guy here and this guy is in the kernel of C, right? So if you apply C, you get C of X minus C of X, C of U1, and I use this. So every element of Rn is a sum of one element here and one element there. And those two guys are only detected at 0 because the And multiple of V1, if you can have mutual R times V1, the chi of that is mutual R. So the only thing here is the term of C0. So this is a direct sum. So this proves that this guy that if you can decompose every element there as a sum of elements here and there, and then you can direct sum, so you can prove. It's the same trick that I used, the thing that I stopped yesterday and finished, Monday and finished, but so I just proved it from this. Yes, one. 2 is the same formula. So if you have an element in M, if X is in M, then C of X is in A1, right? That's how we define A1. Right? Well, we define A1 to be a maximal thing, and then we took C to be the function that produced A1. So C of X is in A1, which means that A1 divides C of X, so C of X, B1, is in RY, right? You can write C of X as some A1 times something, so you're going to get something times A1 times B1, so it's something times Y. So, and this is inside of M, because Y is an element of M. So, on this decomposition here, if I start with an X in M, so if X is an M, then X is C of M, B1 plus X minus C of X, B1, and this is going to be an M, in Ry, and this is going to be the term of and so the same decomposition works for part 2. It's just a matter of checking that anything. So, so in good shape, all you need to do is 3. And again, it's just a matter of writing down the right math. So, find it in my notes. Yes. I'm going to find rho from Rn to R. Remember, V1, V2, Vn is the basis for Rn. So I'm going to put rho of sum of alpha I gi to be alpha 1 plus alpha 2. So what do we get? A1 is rho of V1, of A1 V1. Because rho of V1 is 1. So that's inside of, so this is an element of A rho, so A1 is inside A rho. Ah yes, A1 V1 is an M. Right, this is an M. So by maximality, A1 is equal to A rho. And then A2 is rho of A2 V2. A2 V2 is an M. because that's how I constructed A2. Right, that's how it was constructed to be that. This is why.
Okay.
So A2 belongs to A row, which is equal to A1 because of the previous statement, i.e. A1 divided A2. They don't actually work. So, like I promised, A1 divide everything inside. Pushing up the right map and so actually, yeah, so it took 6 minutes. JB was a little faster than it, that's wrong, but... Alright, and... Okay, so, here. This is the deal, so I'm following pretty much what's on the notes of Gary. It's also done like this, and then it's supposed to be a different order.